Commodity Week was recorded Friday afternoon, July the 11th.
Commodity Week is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
Well, the world agricultural supply and demand estimates are out, and they serve as a reminder of how tight supplies will be by the time the fall of 2009 rolls around. We'll ask if it means the price of corn can even go higher today on Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. From the Land Grant, the University of Illinois, I'm Todd Gleason. Later in this half hour, we'll talk with Top Third's Mark Gold. Our panelists today in studio are Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana, and Dan Zwicker of the ADM Grain Group out of Decatur, Illinois. Let's open today's discussion with this question. When do you think farmers should consider marketing the 2009 corn and soybeans? And we'll start with you, Kurt Kimmel.
Well, probably should have stair-step into it, do a little here, but over time, I think you've got a long window to market. I think you got to have some type of plan and do some scale-up selling as time goes on, because if we would lose this luster in the marketplace, we could be back below cost of production fairly quickly.
Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities.
Well, Todd, I think that's a two-sided question there, and I think that we have to answer that by, have they locked in some of their input costs for next year, too? We're seeing fertilizer taking some wild gyrations upward here coming on. We don't know where that's at. We, of course, we know that their fuel costs are going to be tremendously high, and seed costs and chemical costs are all going to be a lot higher, too. So, you know, we're not going to get real over-exuberant about doing some 09 crop until we lock in some of our inputs.
And Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group.
I think we got a lot of time. I think if you look at the way the market performed here today after USDA supply-demand tables, I think the market began to shift its focus away from the current 08-09 crop year to what may happen in 09-10. If you look at your back end 09 months, we began to see them gain on the 08 crop months. And I think the market now feels that we're probably going to have enough inventory for the marketing year, the 08 marketing year, to get by, just enough to kind of get by. We may have to slow demand a little bit, but I think the focus will be now to try to buy those additional acres that the market needs to continue on this strong demand curve.
Well, Dan, since you opened that can of worms, let's take a look at what the numbers look like from the World Agricultural Outlook Board, the WASDE numbers, World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates, out on Friday morning. Corn ending stocks are projected higher this month. Harvested area raised now 100,000 acres, that based on the June 30 acreage report, of course. Production, however, projected 20 million bushels lower at 11,715 billion, as the projected yield is also lowered to half a billion or half a bushel per acre, so an 11.715 billion bushel crop, with an average national yield down a half a bushel. Ending stocks are projected 160 million bushels higher at 833 million. So let's put this all in a single-figure context. The 08-09 stocks-to-use ratio, I think, is now 6.7, or about half the current year ratio. How tight is that supply, and why hasn't demand backed off more? Dan?
Well, the reason demand hasn't backed off is because we have plenty of corn. This is, you look at the current balance sheet, we're carrying over 1.5, 1.6 here this current year. So we are not, we do not have any shortness of nearby supplies. So that is why you haven't seen much of a cutback. Now, the cutback will occur at some point in time as soon as you begin to think that supplies will shrink underneath what demand is. But so far, we've been going along here the last 2 years, rising out of the doldrums of $2.50 corn. Now we're up into the $6 and $7 range, and demand is still very, very strong. But supplies have still always been enough or more than enough, so you haven't had to have much of a cutback.
Okay, so I know this isn't quite right, but now Dan's telling me that we've had $7 and $8 corn and we've had adequate supplies. That doesn't sound like it works right. But we've had things coming up, transportation, I suppose, cost. Oil has skyrocketed. You agree with him that we've got enough supplies this year?
Well, we're carrying old crop corn, you know, almost 1.6 in the new, and we're going to use it up, but the demand is starting to slow down. You look at the supply-demand balance sheet, we backed off on ethanol, we're backing off on feed use. These hog guys and cattle guys have gone heavily to DGGs, and so feed demand might be overestimated. So we're starting to curtail it. If we stay up here, we're going to slow demand further yet.
You know, I want to talk a little bit about what we have curtailed and what we haven't. And maybe we should go to livestock very quickly because there were some numbers or at least some thoughts from USDA on livestock. Total U.S. meat production forecast for 2008 is fractionally lower as reduced beef production offsets the increased production of pork and broilers. Let me repeat that, Wayne. Increased production of pork and broilers. That was in those first few months of this year. So we've got numbers still climbing and It sure looks like we're going to have plenty of supply. And the other thing that I read out of this report was the meat export forecast for 08 and 09 are raised from last month, and that's reflecting higher expected sales of both red meat and broiler meat in 2008 and higher beef and pork product exports in 2009. So the numbers are down for premium meat products, red beef, but livestock exports will remain strong in the coming year. How can that actually be?
It's called the weak dollar, Todd. That isn't quite as expensive to our foreign customers as it was in the past because of the weak dollar and their strong economy. Also, you know, we will see a reduction or cutback, I think, in production of hogs in the second half of the year. It's taking a while. The industry was based on the wrong sort of production incentives on how it was set up, and we also had some drug breakthroughs that helped a few things that had a few more hogs per litter early in the year. But we do look for a lot of the farrowing to be cut back in the second half of the year.
All right, so here are the numbers as they came in for the week. And remember, these are weekly trades in Chicago. July corn this week, a high of $7.30. They're low at $6.66. Settlement price, 66 cents lower at $6.80. December futures, 7.09 and a quarter, down 67 and three quarters from last week. Okay, you need to put something in context for me, Dan, because we talked about the Friday numbers being fairly good after the USDA reports, but as you take a look at the weekly numbers, they don't look so good in corn.
Yeah, but we had a basically a $2 advance from late May into middle June. We had a $2 advance. We gave back about a buck of it here over the past couple of weeks. We found support here today at the 50% level. We kind of met some downside objectives using Tuesday's gap as a measuring gap. Off of last week's high was at 696. We went to 694. We posted in a daily reversal. I think the correction is over with, and now we're ready to move on up, start another leg up.
He's ready for a correction. Give me a topside number.
We're going to have some resistance at this chart gap, but I think there's reason to believe that we can go on up through the top.
Through the top, new contract ties. Wayne?
Well, Dan and I probably aren't looking at everything the same here because I looked at all the crops on the way over here today and I've looked at all the crops surrounding us, and I think the corn crops got better. I think that we are looking at some good weather here now. I think that the crop is growing in size to what it was 3 weeks ago when we had some negative attitudes, and I think that's why the crop was why the corn price was down over 60 cents this week. I think that depending on the outside markets, the dollar strength and the crude oil, without those things happening, that corn could inch a little bit lower rather than higher.
Well, the corn crop looks good because you can't see the bad spot because it's getting a little taller here. But I think we are due for a bounce in here. We saw some good liquidation. We saw one hedge fund out of London liquidate some longs here this week in the marketplace. As Dan mentioned, we had reversal up, so we are primed to put in some type of replacement. But as Wayne hinted on, I think it depends on the spec money, whether or not the outside money still there is if crude oil can continue to maintain its strength.
USDA numbers look like this in the WASD report. Soybean production now at 3 billion bushels, down 105 million bushels due to reduced harvested and area and yield. They also dropped national yield, I think, by 0.5 or a half a bushel in the soybeans, now down at 41.6. Numbers like this from Chicago for the week: July, a high of $16.45 and a quarter, a low at $15.18 and a half, a settlement price there at $16.30 and a half. They were off 27 and a half cents from last week. November, from week to week, down 35 cents at $15.96. We've talked about soybeans oftentimes in the last month being the potential leader in this marketplace. Wayne, is it going to do it?
The beans are the leader, Todd. We see, of course, that they're tight. We're seeing that they continue to stay tight. Argentina looks to go back on strike. The beans, contrary to the corn, they're looking a little bit better, but they're awfully ragged. They're awfully late. And we can see some more yield reductions on them. There's talk of warm and dry weather hitting a little later season here in the Delta. A lot of beans in the Delta, a lot of double crop beans that have got very little rain on and could be highly stressed. So, you know, we might not make it. There's a lot of $18 bulls out there, but it's going to be a little later and a little more weather problems before we could get there. But they are the leader right now.
Dan, are you an $18 bull?
And more. I go back and look at the dollar, and until I see the Federal Reserve Board start raising the interest rates to support the dollar, and if you look at the decline that we saw here today in the dollar, we're down against the lows that we had here last week. We're busting underneath a long-term channel that's been in development since mid-March, and it tells me that we're going down to 67 cents and before we and then maybe all the way down to 52 cents. So I just think the dollar weakness is going to continue to provide underlying support in the commodity complex clear across the board.
What does that do, Kurt, to the potential number of acres that will be put into the ground in South America if we have that weak a dollar?
Well, it's going to create opportunity for the Southern Hemisphere. I mean, as far as the dollar's weakness or strength, it's going to hinge on the Brazilian real and South American currency in general. Where do you go? Do you buy into the cheaper U.S. dollar, or you buy in the Southern Hemisphere? Right now, if you look at beans priced off the Pacific Northwest, we're cheaper than the Southern Hemisphere. So as world buyers step forward here, they're going to buy where the bargain is. As far as South America goes, they're going to plant as much as they can, feeling they'll capture some of that world market at these higher levels.
Beginning stocks, according to USDA, for this year at 125 are what we're going to have for the 708 crop at 125 left in the bin when we get to the fall. A 140 number will be left in the bin by the time we get to the fall of next year. Wayne, is that enough?
Is that enough? Well, yeah, at $18, that's probably enough, Todd. I think that, you know, we've said all along we have a tightness of $10 or $12 beans. I don't think we have a tightness of $16 to $8 beans. I think that they will ration themselves.
All right, Dan.
The interesting thing on the supply-demand balance sheet today, if you looked at it, we have a negative 35 million bushel residual. Now, that means that we didn't lose one bushel of beans. There's no unexplained disappearance there. So basically it says that this crop is way underestimated and 125 million is as low as we can go. And if you look at exports, you look at crush, you look at inventory levels, you try to find a soybean around here in the next 60 days. If this balance sheet is correct, beans are very explosive here on old crop supplies.
Just one thing to add, too, on this report, there's still questionable about harvested acres. There's still probably room to notch that down. Then plus two, if you take the yield they're at versus 93 flood year, there's some debate how high this yield can stay. So there's some very explosive items to be watched here over the next 2 to 3 reports.
Let's take a look at some of the rest of the numbers as they finished in Chicago this week. July wheat, a high of $8.65, a low at $8.01. Settlement price, $8.19, down 53 and three quarters from last week. July 2009 wheat, $9.75, down 48 and three quarters from last week. Live cattle futures, August contract, a 103.45 high, a low at 101.05, and a settlement price at 101.20, down 260 from last week. August feeders at 111.72.5, up 15 from last week. Lean hogs, July futures, $75 even, the high, the low at 71.60. July lean hogs settled at 74.97.5, up $2.70 from last week. And July oats, 437, finished 18 cents lower. In just 2 minutes, we'll talk with Top Thirds, Mark Gold. You're listening to Commodity Week. It is a production of Illinois Public Media from WILL Public Radio in Urbana-Champaign.
I'm Maria Peters with the NOAA Midwestern Regional Climate Center, located at the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign. Following on the heels of the 4th of July holiday, this past week started off with a bang for portions of Illinois. In eastern Illinois, heavy rains soaked the area Monday morning. Precipitation totals generally ranged from 2 to 3 inches across the region, but some areas saw higher amounts, including a 5.60-inch report from Iroquois County. Severe thunderstorms also struck northern Illinois, as 1-inch hail fell in Winnebago County, and 60-mile-per-hour winds were reported in the region. A cold front that made its way across Illinois on Tuesday and into Wednesday again brought rain and severe weather to the state. High winds were reported across the central portion of Illinois, and a possible tornado was reported in Edgar County. The mid part of the week saw a return to beautiful summer weather, with temperatures below normal across the state and less humid air. However, as southerly winds returned to the area later in the week, they advected warm, moist air into Illinois and returned us to more seasonable heat and humidity. The passage of a potent low-pressure system this weekend drags a cold front across the state, which triggers additional precipitation across the area. After this shot of moisture, though, a ridge building across the plains should trend us toward a warmer and drier outlook for next week. We'll have to see if this can hold up, however, as the models show the chance of another shortwave moving down from the north towards the middle of next week. For the Midwestern Regional Climate Center in Champaign, I'm Maria Peters.
Commodity Week is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
This edition of Commodity Week was recorded Friday, July the 11th. I'm Todd Gleason. Our panelists today in studio are Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group out of Decatur, Illinois, Kurt Kimball of Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois, and Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana. Our guest is Top Third Ag Marketing's Mark Gold. Mark's a former 20-year member of the Chicago Board of Trade, where he was a pit trader and a floor broker. Today, he's a managing partner at Top Third. Mark, thanks for being with us today.
My pleasure. Nice to be here, Todd.
Most farmers, Mark, didn't manage the upside risks that existed in the marketplace very well as we moved from January to the contract highs. Did you do any better, and what, if anything, is there to do today?
Well, you know, we certainly had our clients in positions with options where they were able to take advantage of higher prices here. We had put options bought for, you know, corn, wheat, and beans. We lost the premium on those options, but gained it, you know, 5, 8, 10-fold over what we had lost on the premiums on the put options, which is exactly what, in our opinion, they're designed to do. So we were in pretty good stead. A lot of our clients had, you know, a lot of grain left to sell on these highs. We've been doing a pretty good job of getting it sold here in the last week or 10 days. And frankly, they're in pretty good shape here for the most part. You know, what's there to do now? Well, in my opinion, there's plenty to do now. You've got 08 beans out here at $16, 09 at $15. You've got December corn at $7, new crop or 09 corn at $6.80, and December 2010 at $6.68. You know, historically, these are great prices, and guys need to be doing something to protect it out here.
Well, Mark, you're right. These are great prices, but how aggressive do we get?
Well, you know, we certainly take into account insurance. whenever we go ahead and sell crops that we don't have in the bins yet. You know, granddad told dad and dad told your listeners out there, don't sell it till you get it in the bin. And historically, that's been great advice. However, with the new insurance products like RA and CRC, we feel much more comfortable about selling grain ahead if we know we're going to have the insurance. Now, do we sell 100% of guaranteed bushels this early in the season? Of course not. But we're certainly, you know, on the 08 crop, we're getting more and more aggressive on that. On 09 and 2010, we'd certainly be looking at having, you know, as much as 50% of the guaranteed bushels sold at these prices.
How are you doing that, Mark?
Well, you know, that's a good question. You know, we look at these elevators out here, and, you know, that statement that we're selling grain now, it assumes that we've got some kind of reasonable basis out there. Now, I'm hearing stories of guys getting bid, you know, a dollar under on beans, another 50 cents for giving them a cash bid that far out, just for the 08 crops, let alone 2009 and 2010. And where that basis is absolutely ridiculous, there have got to be alternatives. Now, the alternative is to sell futures, which we don't like to do because of the potential margin calls, but we do like to buy options. Now, granted, the options are out of the money, they're expensive, but look at what they're protecting long run. And when you're at these kind of historical high prices, the put options can be a very, very valuable tool to help you manage the risk. If you don't want to leave the money on the table that you will leave on the table buying a put option, one of the strategies that you can take a look at doing is selling the futures and then buying some kind of reasonable call option in back of it in order to protect against the margin call. But keep in mind that the value of the call option, if the market moves higher, cannot be used to offset for the margin call purposes. You're going to have to borrow money to put up for there. But the banker should be willing to lend you that money, knowing that the money's in the bank vis-a-vis the call option.
Well, Mark, even with those kind of strategies, you could easily end up with as much as $2 a bushel investment in protecting corn. I mean, I think an at-the-money put on a December 09 these contracts, somewhere in that dollar range, my guess is that an at-the-money call would be worth a dollar thereabouts, too. So even with your hedge money, if you would go short the board, your initial hedge margins, and then your cost of your puts, you're still talking about, you know, upwards of $2 for a bushel of corn. You could maybe be talking about upwards of $4 for a bushel of soybeans to kind of protect that and manage that money. And we're talking about a year ahead of time. We're talking about interest costs. There's a lot of charges involved in carrying those kind of hedges, and I think that's why you're seeing the elevators with wider bases, because they have to carry those marketing costs for maybe a whole year or two, and then they don't even know whether or not that farmer is going to deliver on that contract.
And, you know, that's one of the critical issues. The elevator wouldn't care so much if they knew that they were going to get in the grain, which is why I believe we're going to start taking a look at some changes, fundamental changes, in the way cash grain is bid around the country. But the fact of the matter is, you know, you're right. You're going to leave money on the table no matter what you do in these markets. If the elevator will give you a bid and the basis is a dollar under and another 50-cent charge or whatever they're doing, there's no way the farmer at the gate is going to get these kind of prices that we're seeing here today. The only thing that they can do is recognize that at $7.5 and $8 corn and $15, $16 beans, you're not going to get it all. And the only way to take advantage of that is just to make sure that these corn prices don't go back to $4 or $3 basis the board, and that bean prices don't go back to 10 bucks and 8 bucks, which is going to put you under the cost of production in here. What scares me is that the American farmer is going to get complacent here, just hope prices stay up here, and then come the harvest or come sometime next year, we take a real collapse in these prices, which is certainly possible, that they're going to be like a deer in the headlights, and now we're going to have a farm crisis the likes which we haven't seen since the 70s.
Mark, we saw a little bit of a setback for a while today in the markets. What do you think the bottom or a stopping point would be in the corn and the bean market now if we saw a setback this summer?
Well, I think we can see, you know, beans without question go back to $10, $11 in here, November beans. You know, in my opinion, December corn doesn't have a whole lot of support really till $6. And then if we take that out, you're looking at $5.50 and then $5. And, you know, depending on what the government does on CRP acres, on ethanol mandates, and possibly limiting speculators in these markets, any one of these things can be a big problem. And now we've got these bigger corn carryouts. You've taken a lot of heat off of this thing. You know, the downside is where the risk is, in my opinion, on the corn market at any rate.
Mark, I've got one question that
sure.
I had written for the guys earlier in the show and didn't get really to the wheat numbers projection there projected globally at 664 million tons. That's up 1.3 million tons from last month, but it's 53 million tons higher than last year. That was a weather-reduced one, but it's also a record setter. And this is way oversimplified, but given what you've been talking about, the question simply was, is the world food crisis coming to an end this season with this wheat harvest?
Well, I believe it is. Now, we're going to have some tightness in the beans, but the one thing we have seen from, you know, $12 and $15 wheat and $8 corn is farmers all around the world will respond to that by planting more grain. We know that demand at these prices is going to go down. So you have a situation where the world's going to plant more of what the world wants less of, and it's ultimately going to lead to higher prices. What do you think the Brazilians are going to do with $16 beans? They are going to tear it up over there. So while we've got these historical prices, you've got to do some marketing and protect this and not let this thing go south, because you can't afford to pay the input costs you're paying with what we're seeing out here. Now, long term, I believe beans are going to gain on corn, but that doesn't necessarily mean beans have to go higher. I believe the corn market's in some serious trouble here.
Well, Mark, looking at corn and beans, how high can high be if we do happen to go higher one more time?
Well, you know, I believe, you know, we've seen in the crude oil here in 2 days a $10 jump as Israeli warplanes may be flying over Iraqi airspace looking to go into Iran. If we see an attack on the nuclear plants in Iran by the Israelis, you know, crude will be up $10 over the weekend, and beans will be up probably the limit. Now, again, we're still in a little bit of a weather market with pollination so late. If we put heat on this crop and corn in the last week in July, we can take a dollar or two jump in the corn. And if we have trouble during the month of August for the beans, we can look at $20 or $25 beans. Who knows? My point here is that you need to be protecting the downside. Let's see what the upside can bring us long term.
Mark, thanks much for joining us today.
Todd, it's been a pleasure. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Top Thirds, Mark Gold, and now a final word from our panelist, Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities.
Well, it's an exciting market, and I sort of agree with Mark. Need to have some type of plan and try to stick through this turbulent time.
Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities.
Well, we're seeing the wheat is not converging with the cash market, and we encourage all of you to write your senators and tell them we need more delivery points.
And Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group.
But we also see wheat coming out of a seasonal low and moving higher. So I do think that these markets have put in a pretty good correction now, and we'll have to kind of see how the weather unfolds over the next couple of weeks to see whether how much juice we can get out of this market here during the month of July.
Our thanks to Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana, and Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group out of Decatur. That wraps up this week's edition of Commodity Week. Something to keep in mind, you can access Commodity Week programs and analysis throughout the week on demand on your computer. Our site on the World Wide Web is willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find Commodity Week, weekly analysis, cash grain reports, weather, and feature interviews with agricultural newsmakers. You have a good week. I'm Todd Gleason.